Good evening. So in the gospel today, we see two main characters in this parable, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Now, Pharisees and tax collectors make several appearances in the gospels, and we know usually they're not great characters in terms of moral value, but you know, what else do we know about them? Well, so the Pharisees were a Jewish sect of religious scholars, and they were known for their strict adherence to Mosaic law. On the surface, this would be a good thing, but they appeared to believe in many of the same things we do, at least outwardly, so that's not bad. But the strict adherence to the rules was prioritized over God's spirit of God's law, and over justice and mercy and love. The Pharisees were often at odds to Jesus' teaching because he preached the love of God and a love of neighbor, and his teaching threatened their authority. So we have to remember, though, St. Paul was a Pharisee, and we can see in his writings that he is very well educated in the law, but the spirit of God's law also dwelt in him, so he could teach us the law with justice and mercy and love. Now, for the tax collector, tax collectors were Jewish citizens employed by the Romans to collect tax that went directly back to Rome. So the money did not help Israel. It did not help build infrastructure. It did not help social programs or in any way benefit Israel. So tax collectors were despised, even hated. So naturally, this career drew people who maybe were already on the shady side of society. They were allowed, or maybe encouraged, to charge fees above the Roman rate so they could benefit themselves financially. So as I said, they did not enjoy a good reputation, and nor did they have many friends. I mean, they were worse than the Gentiles, and they were considered unclean. So we can see why it was very shocking that Jesus would eat at the home of a tax collector or call a tax collector to be one of his apostles. Now, through these two characters in the parable today, we see a couple of themes. One is humility versus pride, and the other one is prayer. So the Pharisee and the tax collector are in the temple to pray. Now, this initially is kind of ironic because it's not likely that tax collectors would even be in the temple to pray, and certainly a Pharisee would not be there at the same time. So that's kind of a little setup there. Now, the Pharisee takes this position of honor, and he starts praying to himself. He has a checklist of all the ways he's righteous. In fact, his prayer may be essentially a checklist. And we can see that he's very proud of his righteousness. He's self-justified. He doesn't really need God for that. The tax collector, he appears humble. He recognizes that he's a sinner, and he begs for God's mercy. In this parable, the tax collector is the one who goes home justified. Now, the other irony here is that Jesus is contrasting how the Pharisee sees himself and how the tax collector sees himself. While in that society, the average person probably despises the Pharisee and the tax collector equally. It was an equal opportunity. So neither was better than the other in society. But obviously, not all tax collectors were repentant. They were typically dishonest, and the Pharisees were typically very prideful. So the sin of pride here is the Pharisee comparing himself to others, how much better he is to the rest of humanity. So why is it our human nature that we compare ourselves to others in our lives? You know, at work, at school, at church, in sports. You know, I think this behavior begins at an early age. A long time ago, when I taught middle school faith formation, I would see the young people kind of grouping up and forming their cliques and finding their identities. And this, you know, it's a normal part of growth, but sometimes it would go to comparing themselves to others and then trying to build themselves up at the expense of others and putting other people down. I tried to discourage this and tried to teach them that, you know, they need to find their confidence and identity from within as child of God, not by comparison. And also, it's just wrong to judge others. So I explained to them in a term that I thought they could understand. I told them, God does not grade on a curve. Now, you probably know what it means to grade on a curve, and so don't get me started. But it seems kind of silly to think that God would, you know, every day line up a new batch of souls and say, well, you guys were better, and you guys were average, and you were last place, so off with you. Regardless of where you fall on obedience to God's law, that doesn't matter. It's just, how did you compare it to the person next to you? I mean, what kind of a world would we have and a justice system would we have if that's how we were? Now, you know, pride is a slippery slope. And sometimes good intentions can slip right into pride if we're not careful. So today the idea of pride is used in ways that are not good. In our society, it's marketed as a good thing, but it is sinful. And when you believe you're better than others and disregard the value of their lives. So now, just as there is righteous anger, there can also be righteous pride. For example, you might express to your child or grandchild that you're proud of something they've done, an accomplishment or achievement. And especially when we can point out that they exhibited good, virtuous behavior in doing that. So in that way, we're encouraging more virtuous behavior without slipping into the trap of self-righteousness at the expense of others. But you can imagine, it is a slippery slope. Pride is one of the capital sins, one of the seven deadly sins, because it can lead us into other sins. I kind of see the capital sins as a disposition that points us to other sins and blinds us to the fact that we're sinning. We just think that we're right. We're doing right always because we're prideful. But we are called to live lives of virtue. And virtue leads us to follow the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength, and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity lead us to righteousness, to justification, and away from pride. Now, talk a little bit about prayer. Our catechism teaches us that the first movement of a prayer or petition is asking forgiveness. Humility is a prerequisite for righteous prayer. A trusting humility brings us back to God. So in the parable today, we see a trusting humility in prayer, and we see an arrogant righteousness. God hears all prayer, but which prayer do you think is pleasing to him? So this teaching about prayer today is a good reminder to do a checkup on our own prayer lives. Have we converted our prayer life into a checklist, things we got to do that we're supposed to do just to get it done and move on to the next thing? Or do we face our need for God and come to him in humility? Well, today the gospel gives us some help. When you pray, begin as a tax collector did, asking for mercy from God. And you may know this prayer. It's a prayer that is called the Jesus Prayer. It's very similar to what the tax collector prayed today. It goes like this: Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, with humility of heart and sorrow for all prideful sins, we can begin our prayer this way. And today, I'd ask you to remember these two things then. Number one, God does not grade on a curve. And number two, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner.